Well, they say confession is good for the soul. So I'm going to start out with some confession here today. Sometimes when I preach, I can be a little verbose. If you don't know what that means, it means I'm a little long-winded. I can be a little redundant. I can repeat myself, maybe a little bit too much. Boy, I feel good having confessed. I'm not going to repent, but I feel good that I confessed. I can be redundant, but the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit says something in the Word of God, He is never redundant. Whatever is in the Bible is not redundant. If it's recorded in God's Word, it's important. But if the Holy Spirit has it recorded more than once, that means it's maybe a little bit more important. If the Holy Spirit has something recorded four times in Scripture in detail, that must mean that that portion of Scripture is extremely important. There is one miracle recorded in the Gospels in detail that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John four times in every one of the Gospels. What is that miracle? Okay, my son. The feeding of the 5,000. That's right. And I want you to take your Bibles and open them up to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look this morning at the feeding of the 5,000 in verses 13 through 21. Jesus, let me give you some background before we get into the text, but Jesus has been ministering at this point for some time up in Galilee, northern Israel, in Galilee. He's been preaching the good news of the kingdom, performing many miracles. And as he continued to minister, the opposition has grown. And even when he returned to his hometown of Nazareth, they rejected him. He came to his own received him not. He said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and among his own household. Jesus has been ministering pretty much all day and into the night. His disciples have been ministering with him, and he sent the disciples out. And they have ministered and were extremely busy. And the scripture records in Mark 6 that there were so many people coming to Jesus and to his disciples with needs that at times they didn't even have time to eat. Can you imagine that? Didn't even have time to eat a meal. It was at this time that Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been martyred. And he said to his disciples these words, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. Come apart. One person commenting on this said, we all need rest. And if we don't at times come apart and rest, we will come apart. And that's true. I remember Warren Wiersbe. I had him in a class at Trinity Seminary. He said, you know, sometime the most spiritual thing to do is to sleep. But not on Sunday morning. I put that in there. So Jesus says, let's get away. You know what? We need some R&R. We need some downtime here. And that's where we pick it up in our text this morning. Matthew 14, verse 13. Let me read these verses. You follow along. Now, when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate. And the hour is already late, so send the crowds away that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. They said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food. And breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. Let's bow. Lord, God, this record of the feeding of the 5,000 is recorded in every one of the Gospels. And Lord, repeated 4 times, it must be important. And I pray this morning as we would look at this account, that you would open our eyes and speak to us, Lord. And speak to our hearts and show us how this applies to us and our ministry for you in these days. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God is a compassionate God who meets the needs of desperate people. But what I want us to hear this morning to see is in meeting those needs, God, in many cases, uses his followers, uses ordinary people like you and like me to meet the needs, the overwhelming needs, the desperate needs of hurting people. So look with me, first of all, at the compassion of Jesus for the needs of the people, verses 13 and 14. Again, Jesus just heard that John was martyred, and it says in the text that he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. That's what he wanted to do. But the people followed him. In fact, some saw him leaving and ran, and they got to the destination before Jesus got there. So here he is coming in the boat, and he's coming to shore, and there's a large crowd of people. And I want you to remember, Jesus at this point was exhausted. The disciples were exhausted. I thought about that. You know what? Working with people can sometimes be exhausting. It can drain you. Ministering to needy people. Anybody that has ever taken care of a sick person over any period of time knows that. Or maybe you've taken care of an elderly parent. Or you mothers that take care of your children, needy children. It can be exhausting. They were exhausted. Jesus had a real human nature. And he got tired. And at this point, he was tired. The disciples were tired. And he gets there, and he sees this large crowd. And how did he respond? Oh no. I wanted to get away, and look at all these people. All these people. I wanted to get away, and oh no, here they are again. All these people with all these problems. Did he look at them like that? Did he say, boy, what an interruption. Here I am going on vacation and you're interrupting my vacation, my R&R. Now, true confession. This is a true confession. There have been times in my ministry where I felt, how dare you get sick on my day off? I felt that. Or how dare you die when I'm going on vacation? That's terrible, isn't it? Yet I've struggled with that. Because sometimes you get tired. And you know what I'm talking about. But the Bible says Jesus didn't act that way. How did he react? You know how he looked out, saw all this crowd of people who ran there and got there before he got there. And he saw them as distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. That's how he saw the people. He saw them in their need. And the text says, do you see up in verse 14? It says he felt compassion for them. Compassion for them. The word compassion means literally to be moved in the guts. This wasn't just a calculated head feeling or a cold calculated concern. Jesus was moved in his guts for the needs of the people. That's the kind of Savior we have. Amen? He's a compassionate Savior. He sees the needs of people. He sees us in our needs. He feels compassion. He sees people in needs all over. He saw them all over. They were all over the place in his day. And he was moved with deep compassions. He was moved in his guts by their suffering and confusion and despair and the lost condition. I'm going to tell you, folks, there were a lot of hurting people in Jesus' day. There's a lot of hurting people in this day. You know, they're in your neighborhood. There's that woman whose husband just left. She's hurting. There's that man whose wife just left. He's hurting. There's that woman who just lost a child. They're all over the neighborhood. They're in your office where you work. Guess what? They're in the pew that you're sitting in right now. They're all over. And Jesus is a compassionate Savior. How do we see them? How do we see hurting people? Do we see them as interruptions? Oh no, here he comes again. Do we see them as problems? Or do we see them as God sees them with his eyes? As distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. They need the Lord. We need to have that compassion. We need to be moved. You know, I think sometimes we get kind of calloused. Do you ever feel calloused to needs of people around us? But they're all out there. Thank God we have a compassionate Savior. Amen. And he wants us to see people like he sees them. But look at the solution of the disciples for the needs of the people. The disciples had a solution here. It says in verse 15, when it was evening, Jesus, again, had been ministering a good part of the day. Disciples came to him, and they came to Jesus because they perceived there was another need of the crowd. The people were gathered. It was a big need. It was a huge crowd of people. Verse 21 says there's 5,000 men with other women and children. There, I read one commentator that said there could have been up to, and I don't think this is probably right, but 25,000 people. There was over 5,000. Over 5,000 people. And the disciples, it says, they came and they said that the place where they were was desolate. Desolate. You know how desolate it was? There wasn't a McDonald's in sight. That's desolate. We were just over in Eastern Europe, in Moldova, in, let's see if I get it right, Jeff, Chișinău. Okay, we were in the capital of Moldova, Chișinău. And guess what? We're going down the street. Guess what I saw? The Golden Arches. And actually, I thought, I'm going to get on. I got on the internet. There's at least three that were mentioned on the internet, and they gave the streets they were on in Chișinău. They're every place. When I was in the Philippines, we went back into the tribes, and we were going to tribal churches and preaching in the tribal churches. And then we were going back to our home base. And we went through a small town in the Philippines. This is no lie. It was just a little town. Don't you know? I saw the Golden Arches. I said, I'm hungry. We got to stop and get something to eat. Well, we stopped and got, I thought it was a hamburger. It didn't taste like a hamburger. I don't know what kind of meat it was. It tastes like chicken. I didn't ask what kind of meat it was. And you know, instead of Pepsi and Coke, they had pineapple juice and what's the other one? A pineapple and was it guava or what's the other? Mango juice. That's what they had. But there was a McDonald's. There was no McDonald's around. This was desolate. It was desolate. No place to get food. And these people were hungry. They were hungry. That's the meaning of desolate, by the way. And the hour was late, it says. It would be dark soon. The place, no place to get food. So the disciples come to Jesus and they say, the people have a need. They don't have any food. And so they have a solution. What's their solution? Send them away. Send them away, Lord. Send them away. Let them go into one of the villages and maybe they can get some food. Send them away. That was their solution to this problem. Let them buy food. Well, it's easy, I think, when there's so many needs around us to just dismiss the needs of the people that have the needs. We can just send them away. Especially when you're exhausted. Especially when you're exhausted. It's hard to go out of our way to help. It's easier to just send people away. And sometimes I think, at least I have a tendency to send people away because I've kind of been burnt by people. People that have come and kind of playing the system. Do you know what I'm talking about? And coming in and playing the system and getting things. And I, you know, just send them away. That was their solution to this problem. And sometimes I think I respond or we respond like this to the needs because we feel the needs are so great, we feel inadequate to even begin to make a dent on the needs of the people. So we just dismiss it. Send them away. That was their solution to this problem. But Jesus, he had another solution. Look at the solution of Jesus for the needs of the people. Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. You do it. Now put yourself in the shoes of the disciples. What? Lord, look at all the people. There's like 10,000 people here, Lord. How are we ever to do that? We can't do that, Lord. We can't do it. Have you been out in the sun too long? Oh, no, they probably didn't say that. One disciple speaks up. That's recorded over in Mark 6. He says, Lord, are we to take 200 denarii and buy bread enough for everyone to have a little bit? Is that what we're to do, Lord? Lord said, what do you have? What do you have? He said, Lord, all we have is five loaves, five barley loaves, and two little fish. You give them something to eat. Yes. You know, when God said that, you know, God, when he gives a commandment, God's commandments are God's enablements. Amen. Think about this. God is not limited to human limitations. And God desires to use ordinary people fraught with human weakness, limitations, as a part of meeting the needs of hurting people. God doesn't necessarily look for special people. Jesus didn't say, are there any Bill Gates out in the crowd? Any Warren Buffets out in the crowd? Are there any? Would you raise your hand? We need some money. He didn't say that. He wasn't looking for special people. He was looking to use ordinary people. Yeah. Ordinary. You give them something to eat. That's what he said. You see, God wants to use ordinary people, listen, like you and like me, to meet desperate needs, overwhelming needs of hurting people, and they're all around. Well, how in the world's that going to work out? How are we going to do this? There are five things that Jesus did, five steps that Jesus used to meet these needs. Let me give them to you. First of all, Jesus commands them, bring what you have to me. He asks them, first of all, what do you have? What are the resources? They come and say to him, five barley loaves, two fish. Again, I think he asked them that. You know why? Because he wanted to show them how much they didn't have, how limited their resources were. He wanted them to know, to see they didn't have much. And he wants us to know that even though we might not have much, you might not be a Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, but God wants to use you. God wants to use the resources you have. Jesus says in verse 18, bring them here to me. Bring the five loaves and the two sardines here to me. And then, secondly, Jesus blesses what they bring. Verse 19, he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food. I'll tell you what, when Jesus blesses something, he transforms it. If he blesses your life will be transformed. He does that. Anybody been transformed by Jesus? I'll tell you what, if he's blessed your life, he transforms your life. You're not the same. You're a new creation, a new creature in Christ. Amen. What he blesses, he transforms. If he blesses your home, I'll tell you what, your home will be transformed. Blesses your marriage? Oh, man, oh, man. Transform your marriage into a picture of Christ in the church. That's what he can do. When he blesses, whatever he blesses, it's transformed. It's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. So he says, bring what you have. Then he blesses what they bring. And then, listen, he breaks what he blesses. He breaks what he blesses. Do you see there in verse 19? It says, he gave them. He kept giving them. He breaking of the loaves, verse 19, in the breaking of the loaves, before the bread and the fish could be shared with others, they had to be broken. He broke the bread and he divided the fish. So he said, bring what you have. He blesses what they brought. Then he broke what he blessed. Then he broadened what he breaks. He broadened what he breaks. He kept giving the fish and the loaves out. He did a miracle of multiplication. Multiplication. He kept giving and giving more and more and more and more fish and more loaves. This is one of only two miracles in the New Testament where Jesus made something out of something. You remember the other one was up in Cana of Galilee? He made what? Wine out of water. He took water and made wine. Here, he takes loaves and makes more loaves. And he takes fish and he makes more fish. He did the miracle of multiplication. Multiplication. He creates bread out of bread and fish out of fish. Multiplies the fish and the loaves. Bring what you have. He blesses what we bring. He breaks what he blesses. He broadens what he breaks. And then listen, he bestows what he broadened. He took, in verse 19, he did not give the multitude the bread. He didn't just say, okay, I'm going to give you and take a basket around and just give it to him. Or he didn't say, form a couple lines and come up and get your loaves and fish. What did he do? He gave them to the disciples. He gave them to the disciples. And they were the ones that distributed the loaves and the fish. He bestowed what he had broadened. He gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowds. You remember what he said? You give them something. But you can't give what you haven't what? What you don't got. Or what you haven't received. So God gives it to them. And they go out and distribute it to the people. Bring what you have. I'll bless what you bring. I'll break what I bless. I'll broaden what I break. And then I'll bestow it. You give them something. Now, how does that apply to us? Application. Just application. He does the same thing today. He does the same thing today. He wants to use us to reach a desperate world. Desperate people, hurting people. He could do it himself. But he's chosen to use ordinary people. So what does he do? What does he say to us? Must obey his command. Bring what you have. You say, Pastor, I don't have very much. I'm not Bill Gates. I don't have a lot of money. Bring what you have. Remember the widow with the two mites? I can't wait to get to heaven to see what God did with those two little copper coins. If I had $1 million, God, I would. He's not asking us what we'd do with $1 million. He's asking us, what are you going to do with what I've blessed you with? I don't have much. Lord, I'm not a who's who. I'm just a little person. Bring what you have. Give your life to Christ. He can do much more with it than you ever could. But I'm not very much, Lord. Bring what you have. Bring what you have. Time, talent, treasure. I don't have much, Lord. Bring what you have. And then when we do that, and we really give what we have to Christ, then you know what he does? He blesses what we bring. He blesses what we bring. It may not be much, but when Jesus blesses what we bring, it is transformed. When people bring their little lives, their finances, their family, their time, their talent, their treasure to Jesus, he blesses. But you know what? He doesn't bless us so we can hoard the blessings, does he? Oh, I've been blessed. Wonderful. I love these blessings. He blesses us to be a blessing. Amen. We're not to be a reservoir. We're to be a channel. Yes. That's why God blesses our life. That's why he's blessed you. Yes. So you can share those blessings with a hurting world. World that is in desperate need of Christ. Bring what you have. He'll bless what you bring. But then he'll break what he blesses. You know what? I think the blessings are nice. But the breakings are necessary. Do you know what? God has got to break us. Got to break us to use us. I love the blessings. Blessings are neat, but the breakings are necessary. Before he uses us, he's got to break us of pride. He's got to break us of sin. He's got to break us of selfishness. Yes. You know what? He doesn't break us to destroy us. Right. He breaks us to make us useful. Amen. And some of us, you may be going through breaking time. He's breaking you. But he's breaking you to use you. Because you're going to be ministering to what? Broken people. Amen. But let me share this truth with you. Where was the bread? Where was the bread when he broke it? In his hands. Where was the bread on the night he was betrayed when he broke it? In his hands. Where was the bread on the road to Emmaus when the two Emmaus disciples sat down with Jesus and they recognized him? They recognized him in the what? Breaking of the bread. Where was the bread? In his hands. You see, when the Lord breaks us, he's never so close as when we're being broken, because we're right in his hands. So he says to us, bring what you have. I'll bless what you bring. But then he'll break what he blesses. But then he will broaden what he breaks. Amen. What it'll do is a miracle of multiplication. Because you know what? Listen to this. Little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. He'll multiply. He'll multiply resources to be able to meet those needs. And then he will bestow what he broadens. He'll use us. He'll take the little bit and make an impact in the world around us. That's what God wants to do. And by the way, who got blessed in this account? Who got blessed? Did the people get blessed? Yeah, they got blessed. Their tummies were full, right? It says, in fact, down in verse 20, they were satisfied. Mick Jagger never got satisfied, did he? I can't get no, you know? But I'll tell you, they were satisfied. How about the disciples? Did they get blessed? I think they were blessed just the fact that they were part of Jesus doing this great miracle. They were blessed. And you know what? There were 12 baskets left over from that great feast. One for every one of the disciples. You know, yesterday we had a great time here at the woman's tea. But you know what I really liked? After it was over, there was food left and they sent it home with us. Thank you, Trudy, wherever you are. Oh, there you are. And I'll tell you what, man, we ate that yesterday. Well, they had 12 baskets left over. They got blessed. Was Jesus blessed? I think Jesus was blessed because he saw how he could meet the needs of the people. But see, what God wants to do, bring what you have to Jesus. Hey, I don't have much. Doesn't matter. Bring what you have to Jesus. He'll bless what you bring. He'll break what he blesses. He'll broaden what he breaks. And he will bestow through you the blessings to people all around you. And by the way, what's the greatest need? Is the greatest need for some physical food? The greatest need is for what? The bread of life. That's what Jesus, right after he did this miracle, he preached the bread of life discourse and he said, I am the bread of life. If anyone comes to me, he'll never hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst. God wants you to take the bread of life in the jail, in our neighborhoods, over on the college campus, all over in the office. He wants us to have his eyes to see the hurting people and to take the bread of life to them. Let me close with this. Dannebaugh Hall wrote a song several years back. The title of the song is Ordinary People. And it goes like this. Oh, just like the little lad who gave Jesus all he had, how the multitude was fed with the fish and loaves of bread. What we have may not seem much, what we have may not seem much, but when you yield it to the touch of the Master's loving hand, then you will understand how your life could never be the same. Just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. God chooses people. Just like you and me, who will do what he commands. Because little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. Will you this week, listen, See the people around you and allow God to use you to minister to them. Somebody, he's calling you to minister. And don't just meet the physical need. Share the bread of life with them, Jesus. Lord, help us. Help us to have your eyes. We thank you so much, Lord, that you use ordinary people like me, like the people in this congregation, to get your work done. What a privilege. What a blessing. Lord, this week, show us that one. Show us those ones that you want us to minister to. In Jesus' name, amen.